Before we get to the episode, I've got something free for you. I'd love to give you a pack of Canva Instagram story templates and Pinterest templates that go with your unique brand's vibes. Whether you're more bright and colorful or more sophisticated and polished, I've got you covered. Take my website personality quiz at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz and you'll be matched with a few gorgeous DIYable website templates that would be perfect for your ideal client's vibes. You'll also get 10% off your template purchase from my shop, a free month subscription to Show It, a full brand personality profile to tell you what design your client is looking for, and of course, those awesome Canva templates. You can get it all now for free at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz. Now, here's the episode. All right, I hope you enjoyed that Christmas music because today's episode is a fun friend-to-friend chat about Christmas as we embark on the Christmas season officially now that Thanksgiving and Black Friday for all of us business owners is over. So this episode is actually a recast from 2022, aired at the same time of year, and you guys loved it then and I loved it too as it was such a fun episode to record, and I actually just finished listening to the whole episode, literally went on a walk, played the whole thing, and I decided to re-air it because it's just as relevant right now as it was a year ago. So let's talk about what all this episode is and then we're going to get into it. So I personally really love Christmas. I'm a total Christmas person. I love the decorating, holiday parties, peppermint mochas, doing fun things as a family, the Christmas lights, fireplaces, snow, all of it. But let me talk about the elephant in the room that really is like a big part of what this episode is about. Resting and actually taking time off for the holidays does not always come easy as business owners, unfortunately. There's a lot to do to close out the year. And if you're anything like me, you start dreaming and planning for the new year in like November and especially in December. So rest can feel hard and slowing down can feel hard. And you're also potentially coming off of Black Friday, which was really exhausting. It might put you into that rest mode, but also might feel like you didn't get to do all the other things you need to do in your business because you are working on doing promotions and emails and sales for Black Friday. So anyway, that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. And basically in this episode, I'm sharing a few things with you. First thing is my time off and reset strategy for Christmas that I do basically every year and how you can try to do the same thing for yourself and for your team as well if you have a team in your business. So this strategy is very specific in this episode and it's not some like, here's how to take months off in your business strategy, but more like here's how to take a few weeks off for Christmas, typically around like 2 to 3 weeks. And I'll go ahead and tell you again, because I just re-listened this episode, the things I share in this episode that was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do to reset. Here's what I'm going to be working on. Here's like the time off strategy. I actually did successfully do all of that last year. So that's really fun. The second thing you'll hear me talk about in this episode is holiday bucket list ideas for you as an individual, not just you with your family or not you and your business, but things for you specifically. Third thing is tradition ideas. And when I recorded this episode, Colin was just over a little over a year old. And so traditions look different then even than they will now a year later, which I'm really excited about. But you'll hear me say in this episode, I don't have a ton of like, here's cool things to do with your kids tradition because I don't like have that experience. But I do share some really cool ideas that I've heard and personally want to try and some of the ones that I have done with Colin. And then also I share traditions that Adam and I have done for our own Christmas just as a dating and married couple for over 10 years now that I think you'll enjoy doing with your spouse or, you know, whoever your significant other is. Fourth thing is some Advent resources, books, and other podcast episodes and things that I think will help you out as you plan your own holiday season. And those are linked in the show notes as well with some updated links too that are even more relevant right now a year later. So that is our agenda. And I really hope you enjoy, again, this recast episode. It's just as relevant now. And yeah, I'm so excited to chat with you. So go get your peppermint mocha, sugar cookie latte, or some wine, some coffee, whatever it is, and let's dive into it. First line of order for this conversation is time off as business owner. So I've done an episode about maternity leave planning or planning a long vacation for your business. Go listen to that if you want thoughts about like how to take a big chunk of time off from your work. But right now, I just want to talk about taking 2 to 3 weeks off in a time of year when most other businesses are also winding down, therefore making it easier to do this. So if your business is business to business, B2B, you're going to feel like it's slowing down around you in general, which is really nice. If you're a business to consumer, that's a different story. Like, for example, if you're someone who does like an Etsy shop, right now might be like a crazy time of year for you because you're getting tons and tons of orders. Like, it's all very different. But nonetheless, at least around like Christmas and New Year specifically, and this year, both of those are falling on the weekends, which I think will affect the work week also slowing down a lot. Because, you know, the weekends, we always slow down anyway. So then having like those holidays on the weekends cause like some of the work days to be considered holidays, all that kind of stuff. But it's a great time to take a break because people are expecting some time off and expecting you to be away from work anyway. So it's a really great time to just take a break, take a breather. Everyone else is too. Most business owners already kind of said this, but we don't get the rest we really crave for Thanksgiving because of Black Friday. So we need this like end of year wind down I'm talking about because Black Friday often can take it out of you. You do a lot of work leading up to it, a lot of work that week, and you need a break after. So last year for Christmas, I was straight up on maternity leave. So my version of this, what I'm about to tell you that I do every year, I actually didn't really do last year because I was already taking lots of time off. I was 4 months postpartum basically. And so I was nearing the end of my maternity leave, but had basically been taking time off, had worked a little bit for Black Friday, but then went back into like my time off mode. And then I was also, even though I was away from work, I did not necessarily feel relaxing all the time because last year, this exact timing, we were also in the throes of this 4 month sleep regression with Colin. So I was not sleeping is simply the best way to put it. And we were also in the process of packing up our whole house to move. We moved literally the first week of January at the beginning of 2022. So in 2021, we were like packing up everything. So Christmas last year, our entire house was like mainly in boxes, like except for the Christmas tree, literally. So everything felt kind of chaotic and I was already off work. But generally, here's what it looks like. Generally, every December, I like to take around 3 weeks off. And I say off in quotes is how I would say that, like 3 weeks off, quote unquote, because I don't necessarily unplug 100% that whole time, but there are some things I unplug from as much as possible. And I'm going to share what those three things are. So I unplug as much as possible. And again, I want you as I'm talking through all this to consider like, how could you do this too? If you so desire to take some time off, which I'm guessing since you've listened this far, you might be. So here are those things I do unplug from as much as possible. One, my inbox and things other people need from me. So basically being like, I'm not getting into that right now. I'm taking time away from like, you need this, you need that, taking time away from it. Second thing, starting on any new projects, running any sales or promotions, or doing any work with clients. So things where I'm working with other people, starting new things, I try to stop all that. And third thing is content creation. So that can mean like 1,000 different things, but some examples in my life would be like this podcast. So not recording podcasts. And then that's where we're going to get into. Like you got to work ahead a little bit to do this, but not recording podcasts, not really doing much social media. Although I do probably do a bit of stories every year, but I definitely would slow down on like posting and reels and all that. So slowing down like content creation, and you likely can see a pattern between those three things. And basically the way that I explain that pattern is that I'm stopping all front-facing business activities. So inbox and communicate with others is very front-facing. Projects and sales and client work are also front-facing, and content creation is front-facing. So by cutting those things, because that is often the majority of our work, right? That allows me to really work less and to actually take a lot of time off, but also to do some things in my business that are big picture strategy, that are things that if you're like me, you might only feel like you have quote unquote time for when you cut out those three things I just said, because it's the stuff you just feel like you can't get to in a normal week because there's other things going on. So you might be thinking, great, that sounds awesome. I want to tell you a few practical ways to take that 2 to 3 weeks off for the holidays. And then I'm going to get into what I do specifically with that time off in my business and also outside of my business. So I have 4 practical ways. Okay. You got to apply this to your own business, but these are my practical ways to allow you to actually take the time off. So, and you can start all these right now. I'm airing this ahead enough that you guys will be able to like get rolling on this. So practical way number one, add your out of office dates to your email signature leading up to your time off. So leading up to the holidays, add to your email signature, just edit it and like put a reminder for yourself later to take it out, but add to your email signature what your upcoming out of office dates will be. So when you're emailing with a potential client or a current client or a customer, they kind of casually see that this time off is coming. So for us, our email signatures in my business under everyone's names, it says our email office hours are 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. We do not reply to emails over the weekends or holidays. So that's always there. So we're basically always communicating that you're not going to hear from us on weekends or holidays. But since we're talking about more time away than that, putting a little more info is smart. So it could say like upcoming out of office dates, colon, and then just put the dates. That's kind of what I would add to that at the end and probably what ours will look like. So if you want to see what this looks like in action, email me around when this episode airs and you'll probably see this. But maybe don't email me actually if you don't need anything because again, trying to take time off. But that's what I would do is kind of put that and like tell the upcoming information. Okay, practical way number two though, put an inbox autoresponder with your out of office info up, like once you're actually doing the out of office. And this is huge for me. This was huge for me during my maternity leave, especially because when you're actually taking the time off, this is going to give you the peace of mind that if you do get a really important message while you're away and you really are like, you're trying to unplug, you can have peace of mind that that person knows that it's going to be a while before responding. They know when to expect to hear back from you. And it takes the pressure off of someone just feeling like you're ignoring their email. So in that autoresponder, you want to be clear about when they can expect a reply and some other things like just like what you're doing out of office. I mean, you have to customize this for your business. Everyone's autoresponders are going to be so different. Since I have a template shop with over 1,000 customers, I also have over 100 people in Book.Designer. I got a lot of customers to care for. So I can't just be like, good luck with your website. See you in January. Oh, you can't get into Kajabi. Sorry. So you have to like navigate that well, right? Like what you're saying in this autoresponder, what response times is going to look like. So for me, I will not be saying in the autoresponder, like I'm taking 3 weeks off. You'll hear from me in January. Instead, I'm going to be sharing more of like what our customer support hours are going to look like because we are working less. So it's not going to be that like you're never going to hear from us, but like kind of, you know, you got to navigate that for your own business. But the point of this practical way number two is to put up that autoresponder. It can be a different one for every email even. I have multiple email addresses for my business. So we put a different one on the support email than the hello email and that sort of thing. But you want to get those up and scheduled and give yourself that peace of mind that people know why you're not responding. Okay, practical way number three is to work ahead some. So again, I've done the working ahead thing for like, to take like a 5 month maternity leave. And now working ahead for 3 weeks feels like nothing. I'm like, oh great, that's going to be fine. But you'll want to get things done that relate to those three categories that you're shutting out prior to your time off. So that might mean getting ahead some on your podcast or your YouTube channel or blogging ahead and scheduling it all for release, planning some social media content ahead of time, getting anything to your team ahead of time so that they can have that time off too. And you're not like telling them you need them to do something the week of Christmas, that sort of thing. Clearing out your inbox like a week before to get all those emails you've been avoiding actually dealt with. I say doing that like a week before your time off. So that way all those people can respond and then you can get back to them again and then get like close-ish to inbox zero. Although I will say, as I'm talking about this, don't be obsessed with inbox zero like ever, but especially around the holidays. But you can kind of respond to people as needed. Writing social media content for any Facebook groups you manage and getting that scheduled out in advance. These are just some ideas, but like those are some things. Wrapping up a client project or planning like a holiday pause with your clients so they know that like, hey, I'm taking off these weeks. Won't be working your project. Then I hope you also take some time off for Christmas and New Year's and you're going to hear from me, you know, on January 6th or whenever. So work ahead, whatever that looks like for you. And I'd encourage you once you're done listening to this episode, or you could even pause me right now to do this, but like make a list of like what came to your head just now as I was talking that are things that you're like, oh yeah, like that's something I definitely would need to work ahead on if I want to take this time off. You know, my business is different than Elizabeth's, but like this is the thing that that would look like for me. So jot that down like in an app, a notes app on your phone or something. Make sure you're working towards this. Again, like I have been actively working towards this. So I've been jotting those things down as they come up and like I'm going to be making in ClickUp actually for myself like a kind of holiday shutdown list of like how to get us all ready to take time off in that way. Okay, so practical way number four, this is my last little practical way, put it on your calendar. This is kind of what I just said, but communicate with your clients or team, put it on your calendar, make it a real thing. This is a must. And I actually put my out of office time for Christmas on my calendar. Guess when it went on last Christmas. That's how far ahead I technically am planning on this. So you put it on your calendar, right? On your team's calendar, on your personal calendar, all of it. And if you're wondering when my resting times will be for this year, the year of 2022, if you're listening to this now, that'll be the week of December 19th. So probably not starting on actually that Monday being out of office, but like maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like shutting it down, being winding out. Through January 9th. Those are most likely when I'm going to be taking off. And again, I kind of, you know, I say most likely, and that makes it sound like I'm not really committed to this. I am. I more so say most likely because I'm not being legalistic with this for myself. The whole point is for me to be able to relax, enjoy my business, think ahead, enjoy time with family. So I'm not being like, you can't open your laptop these days or anything like that. But that's kind of like the dates I'm looking at basically. Now, again, to kind of reiterate when I say those dates, that doesn't mean I'm not working a second during those 3 weeks. I actually will be working some. I'll obviously be taking ample time off for the holidays themselves, but I'm not going to like never turn on my computer that whole time. It's just a different kind of work. It's a business strategy, not front-facing type of work. So put in your calendar, communicate to your team and any other relevant people who need to know about this. And everyone needs to know things like what is happening with the inbox during those weeks. Are we checking it 1 to 2 times a week instead of daily? If you have someone who helps you with your inbox, this is like going to be a great thing to talk to them about. What do we do if X, Y, or Z happens? What is communication with you going to look like? What is your team doing during this time? Figure out that, plan it, make a list of like the things you need to do. And you've got time again from when this episode is airing. If you want to plan the time off, plan it and do it. Okay, so what do you do with your time off in your business? So I'm going to share some ideas for things that are like just fun personal things to do, but I also want to share with you some business things that I'll be personally doing there during this time off, the time off from being front facing in my business. So I like to do strategy stuff. And again, this is going to look different for every business. And I would say to figure out kind of like what strategy things you need to work on. One thought is to ask yourself, what's something you feel like you need to think about or work on in your business, but you never have time for? And that's something to work on. Like, what's something that maybe you feel like, hey, I need like 3 hours uninterrupted to just like think and dream. And then you can use some of your workday to kind of do that instead of all this front-facing stuff. So ask yourself that. And this, again, does not mean responding to emails. It doesn't mean writing more blog posts or doing other random like day-to-day tasks. This is like big picture, where am I going stuff. And also big picture, like getting things set up for when January comes around. So here are some of my personal agenda items. So I will be planning a loose launch calendar for 2023. I, to be real, have never been great at planning like every single launch or promotional period all the way for the whole year ahead of time. I feel like I hear business owners who are like really big time talking about how they like have their whole launch calendar planned out like a year in advance or something. I don't do that, but I do like to have like a loose plan. And then I also like to, with planning that, like kind of looking at like, okay, generally speaking, like when am I taking time off? When am I taking vacations? Things like that to help me plan like when is a potential launch week or a potential sale week. And that will kind of keep us on track a bit there. Another thing is updating SOPs and things in like the admin side of my business. So this is a bit more like, okay, that sounds like it might should be like day-to-day mundane work, but I don't see it that way. I actually see it as something that feels like, oh my gosh, that's something I got to do in my business, but it kind of feels restful because it's not that much like brain power. It's not like doing a whole big project with the client. It's more like, you know, maybe I could turn on Law and Order or a Christmas movie while I work on this, you know, but it's like that important stuff that you really need to do, but you don't make time for because you're too busy. So for me, some of what that's going to look like is going through ClickUp and deleting any recurring tasks or like parts of the system that we're not really using anymore for whatever reason, editing some things to be more efficient and effective. So like looking at like different automations and different recurring tasks, all that, like just where documents are, like just making sure things are really organized for the new year and then creating things for 2023. So for example, like we have a podcast downloads tracker for 2022 where we're putting week over week, like what are the downloads that week? What were they last week? Is this an increase or decrease and that sort of thing? And I need to duplicate that, delete everything out of it, and then rename it for 2023 and get us ready to go for that first week of January. So I have a lot of stuff like that. And again, you probably do too. You might have like a financial tracker. Maybe you're using my product profit sheet and you need to like duplicate that and make a version for the new year. Like there's so many things like that that you might just need to like take some time, make a list, and then set up new versions for the new year of all those. Again, that's stuff that is a little bit more like mundane work, but important work. And if you're like me, it's work that you as like the CEO actually do want to do and take a look at. Another thing I also will be doing is going through canned emails, updating them, just like kind of literally clicking on probably every single one, reading it and being like, does this need to be updated in any way? Also, you'll want to end up changing like the footer on your website to say in the new year, some things like that. You can't really do that till January. So maybe that's something you do towards the end of this, or you just, you know, wait till February, who knows? Okay. And then clean up your Google Drive could be another thing, like just making sure that's like nice and organized. Basically, you're getting your business ready for like the first day of school in a sense. Like that's kind of how I think of this admin task stuff, is like the first day of school is coming in January and you got to get your business ready and like dressed and ready to go, get the lunch packed, all of that. So those are like my main admin task. Other things I'll be doing again for the business during this time, not doing front facing stuff, really truly evaluating my profit and loss from this year and then trying to forecast for the next year, working on budgeting for the next year and just looking at like, okay, where did we end up financially? What can we cut? What can we change? I actually have a whole episode all about like how to get your finances ready for the new year that we'll be recasting in a few weeks on this podcast. So listen to that when it comes out and you can kind of hear like what literally I'll be doing. So that's my process there. Another one, setting goals, both personally and for my business for the new year. So personal goals, business goals, goals with my spouse, Adam, like all of that, like goal setting that, and that can be like a whole lot of time on its own. Another thing, maybe clean up my office closet during a nap time while I watch Law and Order or a Christmas movie on my iPad. That's something I really have always enjoyed doing, is like doing housework while I have my AirPods in and while I watch something on TV. So that might be something that I like spend a nap time doing that will honestly make me feel better because my office will be clean, but also will be enjoyable. Another thing, dreaming things. Like again, the skin looks so different for every business, but for me this year, some of the things I'm going to kind of be doing some vision casting and dreaming about will be team stuff in my business and planning for new hires and thinking about new product ideas. So those are kind of two of my things there. And that could be work where you're journaling, work where you have a whiteboard out, work where you're on a walk and just thinking, or you're hanging out with a business friend, talking to them about it. So yeah, those are my main agenda items for work during those 3 weeks. And that might sound like a lot to you, or maybe it doesn't. I actually don't know where you might land on that. It could be like, wow, that's like so much work, or it could be like, that's not enough work. I'm hoping it won't feel like too much work. And then instead during those 3 weeks, it'll be more like maybe 5 days of that, if that, and that most of the time I'll be able to be off and resting and playing with my son, Colin, and doing all that kind of stuff. So you have to figure out what works for you and what you want to do. But again, I like to get out of the day-to-day business grind and into that real leadership and visionary mode to prepare for the new year with the work I am doing. And just to be totally honest too, as I read all that, I'm even thinking like some of that might be cut. Like I might end up like getting into these 3 weeks and being like, yeah, I don't want to do all that stuff for ClickUp. I'm going to wait till the second week of January to get it all set up. And that's perfectly fine. Like you don't have to do it all. I really truly believe the Christmas season is about turning our eyes towards Jesus, resting, being with friends and family. So like cutting out as much of this as we can, like cutting out as much work as we can, is great. So do what feels good to you and will feel restful and help you again. Like I really do like to think of it as like the first day of school. So I'm like, I want to do the things that are going to help me feel ready for that first day of school, the new year for my business. Okay, now moving on to the next part of all this, I want to share a few holiday bucket list ideas for you to do. So these are things that I am considering doing with some of my free time during these three-ish weeks that are not work-related, not necessarily family-related, but are just for me. And then next, I'm going to share some tradition ideas and things you could do with your spouse or kids or roommate or whoever, just other people in your life. But these are things that are more like for you. So first thing, doing an Advent devotional. So I absolutely love the Advent season. And if you aren't familiar with Advent, it's basically a time in the Christian faith to prepare your heart for Christmas. It's the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And there are so many different things you can do with Advent, alone, with your kids, with different, like within the church. I mean, there's a lot of different things. And I'm actually going to link in the show notes for this episode to some of my favorite Advent things for you to check out, and also to some Christian podcasts that are like explaining what Advent is, explaining ideas for how to do it. There's even one that I listened to a few days ago about the history of Advent that's really good and well explained. So I'll link to that as well. But for me, every year, also real quick, I'll say too, if you're like, wait, what is Advent, a really good comparison is like Lent. So Lent prepares your heart for Easter. Advent prepares your heart for Christmas. Both are in the days leading up to that holiday. So that's kind of like a way to just quickly think about it. But okay, anyway, for me though, every year, for years and years and years now, I've done an Advent devotional, and I have quite a few where, you know, a book I bought, I've done multiple times where like, okay, like 2 years in a row, I did this one, 2 years in a row, I did that one, or 1 year I've done two at a time, that sort of thing. And sometimes I get a brand new Advent devotional. It just totally depends. But basically an Advent Devo would be a reading every day, likely some scripture, and really just like words that are like a very relevant to the season, right? The Advent season, preparing our hearts for that, thinking about the time Jesus was born, and really encouraging you to turn your heart towards God this month. And I just love it. I love the rest that turning to God and looking to the beautiful gospel story gives me at this time of year. And so I'm a big Advent Devo gal, basically. I'm going to link again in the show notes to a few that I really love that you could check out. If you're like, okay, Elizabeth, I love that idea. I want to like also try an Advent devotional, go shop for it. And again, with this too, like if you're listening to this, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm too close to Christmas. I've missed out on that opportunity. There's other things you can do as well. Like actually the thing I'm going to share next. And if you do an Advent Devo and you don't get to it every day, that's okay too. It's all about like our heart posture towards doing it. It's not about checking another box off. But yeah, anyway, okay, that's my first one. That's like an idea just for you, is to do some sort of Advent devotional. As you dream and vision cast for your business in 2024, I would love to help you take things to the next level. Whether it's that you need a new website template to overhaul your online presence, or a template to just add on to your existing Show It website to spice things up a bit and make it better, my Show It template shop can help. Or perhaps you're a designer who wants 2024 to be the year you really go for it and you hit those profit goals and client goals and social media goals, all the things. You'll want to check out Book.Designer, which is my program for brand and website designers, all about building an in-demand design business. Or maybe for you, starting a podcast is on your 2024 goals list, or scaling your podcast you currently have to be a bigger, more impactful part of your business. I'd love to help you with that too. My new course, Podcast Success Blueprint, which will be opening again in 2024, would be perfect for you. And of course, there's also Profit Sheet, my financial spreadsheet for organizing and tracking your finances as a service-based business. So basically, there's a lot of options, and I'm here for you. And you can get the link to all these incredible products in the show notes and on ElizabethMcCravey.com. So I hope you'll check those out, and I can't wait to support you and your business in 2024. So now back to the episode. Another idea you could do, and I actually think this is one I'm going to do this year. Again, I'm recording this quite a bit in advance. I actually don't even have my Christmas tree up yet. Like that's how far ahead I am a little bit on this podcast episode, but this is something I do think I'm going to do this year. So you could read the Christmas story over and over again leading up to Christmas. So you might want to do that for like, sorry, let me rephrase that. You might not want to do that for like the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, like the whole month of December and all that, but it could be something that you do like the week of Christmas maybe. So let me tell you a cool thing. This actually, if you're like, for some reason, listening to this a very different time of year and like close to Easter, my husband Adam actually did a similar thing to this with a group of friends leading up to Easter this year. So they read the crucifixion story in each gospel version, one per week. So like the story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, they read that, all the different gospel versions of it, one per week. So they would read one where the idea was like each of them were like, okay, he did it with friends. So like, we're going to read, you know, Matthew's version every single day. And then on Friday that week, they would meet for breakfast and talk about it. And then the next week, they do a different one and a different one. They did that leading up to Easter, and him and his friends just absolutely loved it. And I think they'll probably do that again this next year. And I think that's a really cool concept. So you could do a similar thing with Advent and the Christmas story. And one thing to bring it back to like what I'm personally thinking about doing is the week of Christmas, or maybe like the 2 weeks beforehand, sort of reading the Christmas story over and over again in different Bible translations. So maybe reading like the Message, New Living Translation, King James Version, like going through some different ones and just kind of exploring like nuances in the ways that it's translated differently, basically. I'm just kind of rereading it over and over again. And that'd be a great thing to do with someone else, a great thing to do with your kids even, and then talking about it. And when you keep reading scripture over and over again, you're going to see different things. When it's that same story, different things are going to pop up out to you on different days. So those are two like very Advent and Christian faith specific things that I would recommend trying. Again, I'm going to link for you guys to some major resources in the show notes that are from Christian companies who are putting out content around Advent that will be helpful to you in thinking and planning for this. Okay, now I have three other things though that are my holiday bucket list ideas for you / what I'm personally going to be doing for my like Christmas rest time. It's not that much stuff, right? Because in reality, I'm a mom to a toddler and he's not in full-time childcare. So a lot of my like time away will be spent doing like fun baby stuff. So, okay, my next one though is reading. So I'm a really big reader. I absolutely love a good mystery. I'm not as good as reading business books, but when I do read them, I always get a lot out of them. But in general, I really love reading just like fun fiction books. And during these weeks, you better believe I'm going to have a few good books I'm working through. And something to think about, I especially love doing books that are seasonally relevant during like the Christmas and January season. So like basically meaning like it's a mystery, but it's like set in the snow, or like it's a mystery and it's like Christmas though. Or like, you know, if you're more into like a romance that's set around the holidays, you know, whatever. And if you are just like, okay, yes, I love that, Elizabeth. That's a great plan. You're right. It is a great plan. One book though, if you're a mystery reader like myself, that I would super recommend for Christmas. It's not a Christmas book whatsoever, but The Hunting Party by Lucy Foley. It is a great read. And it's a really great read this time of year if you like mysteries, because it's set on New Year's and it's very like atmospheric to like the winter. So anyway, that's a really good book. But there's tons and tons of awesome books that fit what I'm saying here of like atmospheric for the time of year. So that's something I'll be doing though. And I will probably be trying to find a book or a few to read that are doing that atmospheric thing. The hilarious thing though, so I'm in a book club, absolutely one of my favorite things. We've had it for over a year now with the same women meeting once a month. We all read the same book and talk about it. So much fun. But our Christmas read this year is a book called Every Summer After for the month of December. So we are literally doing the opposite of what I'm saying for book club. So I'm like, I need to pick something atmospheric to read myself outside of book club. Okay, so anyway, that's reading. Second thing, this is going to sound so funny, but again, I'm sharing with you guys what I'm doing personally to relax during these 3 weeks. I want to watch some daytime television, which again is so random, but I never, never, never do that in this season of life. So for me, like sitting down on the couch, watching some daytime TV with a nice cup of coffee, maybe some cookies during one of Colin's naps, that sounds absolutely glorious. Because again, during nap time, I normally am like, I need to work, or I need to do this other thing around the house, or I'm going to read or something that feels like more productive. Like daytime television just feels so indulgent. And I'm like, I'm here for it. I'm excited about it. I want to do that. Maybe watching something with Adam, maybe watching a Christmas movie. I don't know. But that's something I'm going to be doing some of during this time. And then my third thing is working out more and doing a workout program specifically. So when it's so cold outside, that takes away my walking, which I'm a big walker, usually do like a 30-minute walk every day, weather permitting, with Colin in the stroller, sometimes even 2 30-minute walks a day. Like we love walking around here. But then when it's so cold, I'm ending up having to work out inside in the house or at a gym. So I really like doing a workout program to really motivate me in the working out. So like finding a workout program that's maybe like a 2-week thing or something simple, right? Because you're doing a lot of other stuff in the holidays. It's really hard to be motivated to work out, but doing something to move my body, trying something new exercise-wise, I think is always really fun during times like this. So those are my like random holiday bucket list ideas for you that are not necessarily holiday related. The Advent stuff is, but the other things aren't necessarily, but will again, just be a good, possibly really relaxing thing for you. And again, you got to figure out what that version is for you. Maybe you're like, Elizabeth, I don't want to watch daytime TV. Then don't do that. You know, figure out what your version of that's going to be. All right. And now my final part of this episode, probably the thing that I'm like most excited to talk about, is family, Christmas traditions, and ways like things to do that could become like an every year thing for you. Or maybe you just try it this year, whatever it looks like to do for Christmas. So let me tell you though, like I said earlier, because I never actually finished telling the story, last Christmas was my first as a new mom. And I was so excited because again, I'm someone who like loves Christmas. And like, I've always been like, whenever I have kids, I want to do all this fun, like Christmas stuff as a family, all that. So on Christmas morning, that morning at like 5 a.m., Adam, my husband, passed out. It was horrifying. He literally fell down, hit his head, not from drinking, anything like that, literally just passed out. No clear reason. I literally thought he was dead for a few minutes, and then he like woke up again. Scariest moment of my life, though, seriously. And I called the ambulance. They came and got him. And basically, though, long story short, we ended up spending Christmas in the ER like that whole day. And if you're wondering what happened to Colin during that time, I'm really grateful because my mother-in-law was actually staying with us. And she was actually already awake at 5 a.m. when Adam fell and hit his head and passed out. And Colin also happened to wake up at that exact same time because, again, 4 months sleep regression life. And so he was crying. She went and got him. She came in with Adam. And then when I was in the ER with Adam, like basically that whole day, she was taking care of Colin. So that all worked out really well because I don't know how I would have handled the baby, the husband, the ER, all of that alone. That would have been a lot. But yeah, it turned out though, Adam, not trying to turn the whole episode towards this, but just to explain, he had passed out from actually having COVID and not knowing it, which might be like, wow, that's a really strong reaction to getting COVID, right? And that would have been a strong reaction, but it actually turned out he had an underlying health condition that caused him to react really intensely to getting COVID and caused him to pass out and be dehydrated and all this kind of stuff. And so that health stuff is something we've like literally dealt with all year now. It's been really scary and a lot of different things at times. But anyway, from there, we all ended up getting COVID. Myself, Adam, Colin, my mother-in-law, we just had a house full of COVID. I even got mastitis, which if you have breastfed before, you know that's not fun. Having COVID and mastitis combined, it was rough. And anyway, though, the long story short of it is that's just not probably what you'd hope for from Christmas, especially not what you'd plan for maybe for your first Christmas with kids. So that's like, I call it our COVID Christmas. And we made the best of it, especially like the days after that one day that was really, really rough though. But yeah, so that was last year. So I did not get to do all the Christmas stuff last year, which might be why I'm feeling like especially a Christmas person this year, because I'm like, I'm ready to do all the Christmas stuff. Anyway, though, so besides all that, though, I have a 15-month-old. So traditions with family are going to be like obviously a lot less at this age because Colin does not realize it's Christmas yet. I know even like one more year from now, he probably will be able to enjoy a lot of it more. But we don't have anything like planned yet with Colin. But I do want to share a few ideas with you that I've seen, first of all, for doing with kids that I've seen other people do or I've heard talked about or things I plan to do and just think sound, oh yeah, that's really cool. Just to give you some ideas. So first thing, like I already said, I really love Advent. So here are two like ideas relating to that that relate to the whole family. So one idea that I think we'll actually do next year in 2023 for Christmas for the first time, but my mother-in-law, when Adam and his brother were young, she made a like handmade, really cool Advent calendar thing that you hang on the wall that has a little container for every day leading up to Christmas. And she did an activity every year where with Adam and his brother, she would make these like sugar cookie shortbread cookies. They'd all decorate them together and do like that family activity of decorating cookies. And the cookies, and they're like really tiny cookies, and they all go in a little bag for each of these days, right, leading up to Christmas. And every day, Adam and his brother got to have their little cookie they made for that particular day. So I just thought that was really cool. So there's a lot of different things like that you can do to help kids like both count down to Christmas and see tangibly like, okay, this is how many days are left, but also just do something fun, like, you know, letting your kid have a little mini cookie every day that they helped make. So that's something like, again, not doing this year because Colin's too young for it, but that I think sounds really cool. Another thing is Advent devotionals for the whole family. Again, Risen Motherhood is actually one of the places I'm going to link to for you guys on that. They have a whole resource that's like Advent stuff. They have both children's books, family devotionals, personal devotionals, all kinds of stuff. But that's something I really look forward to the idea of is like, and that actually might be something I do this year anyway, but like reading some of the Advent stuff I'm doing out loud to Colin, but you can do some things like that together as a family. So those are two ideas there. Another idea, I'm pretty sure I heard this on Nancy Ray's podcast, Work and Play, if I'm remembering correctly. I want to give credit where credit's due, but I think that's where I heard this idea. But she shared about wrapping up Christmas books. So like prior to December starting, you would wrap up, or you know, you can do it right now, whenever, wrap up Christmas books and you let your kids open one per day leading up to Christmas. So that would be a lot of books, right? If you really did do this, like in the full way she was explaining, that might would be like, you know, maybe you stop on Christmas Eve or the day before, like, you know, so like 23 to 25 books possibly, or you could make it like 3 days a week or something. I don't know, but you wrap them up and they get to open a book every day leading up to Christmas, and the books would all be Christmas themed. I don't think I said that, but that would be a big part of it. And you alternatively could be like they get to pick a random book every day, or you could number them where it's like, the books like kind of build on each other like we build towards Christmas. So anyway, I really love that idea. And Colin is literally so obsessed with books. Like, that is his favorite toy in the world. He literally throws books at us to read to him and then points at things in them. And then he really likes turning the pages. Anyway, he loves books. So I actually think I'm going to do a very, very teeny tiny variation of this year, where I probably am going to wrap up like 5 Christmas books or something and do like a week where like every day we're doing one book unwrapped, because he's at the age where he can't like unwrap a present. Anyway, though, I thought that was a really cool idea and something, again, you could kind of work towards, like, as your Christmas book library grows, getting enough books to try something like that. Okay, so that's it for my family tradition ideas, because again, I don't have experience there, and I'm going to link you guys to some different resources of things that I love learning from, different podcasts and stuff I listen to on that. But now I want to share some of our family Christmas traditions that I personally do and really, really love. These are traditions just with me and my husband, Adam, so they'd be great for that type of situation. Okay, so here's the first one, Christmas tree put up date. So here's what we do. We put up our Christmas tree, and it's very simple, right? This is not some kind of crazy tradition, but again, we've been married 7 years and I've done this all 7 years. So we put up our Christmas tree and then we have Christmas cocktails by the fire every year. And often we'll watch a Christmas movie or a Christmas TV episode. That's something we're really into, of like, instead of Christmas movies, episodes of like different shows we like that have done Christmas episodes. But yeah, we put up the Christmas tree and have some Christmas cocktails. Very, very simple, but something both of us really look forward to. And now with a baby, that's going to look more like we put up the Christmas tree probably with Colin with us. And then once he's asleep, we have our Christmas cocktails and Christmas TV show time. Now, this is the big one. So every year, Adam and I have done a Christmas date all 7 years of marriage. And then prior to that, when we were dating, so really for like over 10 years, we've been doing this, probably maybe a little less than that, but like around that. So the Christmas date idea is not really that unique of an idea, but I can kind of tell you what we do personally. And again, this is something that I just think is so special, to take that time with your spouse at the end of the year. And when you kind of vision cast together for the new year, really just like sit down and be together. I think it's so fun and special. And then the holidays times make everything better, right? So yeah, here's what it looks like though. So here's what it looked like kind of pre-baby. I'm going to tell you guys that version, because that's the one that's been our tradition mainly. So we make what we call Christmas candy in our house. And this is actually like a really, it's like a chocolatey toffee basically, that Adam made with his parents growing up. And it's like, with the recipes from some like really, really old school cookbook. I have like a scanned version of it on my phone that we like reference every year. And it's like so unhealthy. This like Christmas candy is like seriously so bad for you. That's why it's like, we only can make this once a year, because it's rough stuff. But we make the Christmas candy and it's, again, really, really delicious, but so bad for you. So we make that though during the day of our Christmas date. And then we start our Christmas date like earlier, like in the afternoon perhaps, but like, you know, it gets dark at like 3 p.m. around here. It's close to Christmas. So we start the date probably, you know, like 3:30 or 4, and we start by getting hot chocolate somewhere. And then we drive around and we look at Christmas lights, and we love looking at Christmas lights, different parts of town, different neighborhoods. There's a lot of areas around here that really go like all out. So we'll go look at Christmas lights, talk while we drive around. And then we always do a fancy dinner reservation at a fun, like really nice, like more fine dining restaurant, and have a really nice meal there. And then we look at more Christmas lights and have more Christmas candy on our way home. So maybe like stopping in another neighborhood. And then typically that night we'll watch some episodes of The Office, because they do some really cool, like fun Christmas themed episodes. So you can like find lists online and like look up, you know, Office Christmas episodes, and you can go like find those. Again, that's the fun thing. I'm not as into Christmas movies, but I am really into like watching Christmas episodes of shows I like. So that's kind of what our Christmas date looks like. And again, with a baby now, it looks a little different. Like, we might kind of split up some of those things into more days, and then doing it all like maybe after sleep or whatever. I don't know what it'll look like this year, but that's our Christmas day. And again, I would highly encourage you to try something like that with your spouse. And also, I should clarify, I said it's a Christmas date. That's something we just do in the month of December. Most of this stuff actually I've been talking about is not for like the actual day of Christmas. It's all stuff for like the month of Christmas, the month of December. So we usually do that possibly even like the very beginning of December, but just like sometime when it makes sense for us. Another thing that's like a tradition for us is, we did, like I already said this, but we love looking at Christmas lights, and particularly going to look at different light show type of things around Nashville. Like there's a lot of houses that go like all out and you can get out and walk around and see Santa, all that kind of stuff. So we like taking Colin to go look at all that, which we literally did last year. And I think, oh my gosh, this year, like he already loves seeing all the lights in our neighborhood when we're just walking around. So I think he's gonna love seeing Christmas lights. So that's a really fun one. Another thing I love for the month of December leading up to Christmas is having a Christmas party with friends. So last year, we did a Dirty Santa party with mom friends. So it's just me and some girlfriends and all of our kiddos. And we brought kids gifts. And we did it like one gift for the baby, one gift for mom. And we played Dirty Santa with it and had like some snacks and just let our kids kind of play together. It was so fun. So like if you want that, like be the mom in your circle and like plan that. Cause seriously, it's so fun. So you can, again, you do it like a limit on how much everyone's going to spend. It could be like $15 for each gift or, you know, $10 for each gift, whatever you want to do. And then y'all wrap them all up and you play Dirty Santa and let your kids play together. And maybe everyone brings this treat. It's really, really fun. I actually want to do that again this year, but right now, again, some recordings a bit early, we don't have that on the calendar yet. So that's a fun thing to do. And then this year, Adam and I are actually going to throw an actual Christmas party at our house and invite lots of friends to it and get like food and all that and just have like a fun Christmas party. Again, don't know when that's going to happen yet, but we have two like possible dates on the calendar. And that's something fun though. So those are more like just fun ideas. And then for us, like our actual Christmas, interestingly enough, the way my family's always done it is doing like most of the celebrating on Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day not doing a lot. So now I think for us, it's going to look like doing the family stuff on Christmas Eve and then doing stuff just me, Adam, and Colin on Christmas Day. And another Christmas tradition I should add here is like going to a Christmas Eve service at church. I absolutely love that. If you're not involved in your local church, seriously, every single church where you live probably is having some Christmas services. So you could find a church nearby your house, one that looks fun or one that you have friends going to, and like look at going to a Christmas service. Usually, again, around here, a lot of the churches do a bunch of different ones. So it might be like one the day before Christmas Eve, one on Christmas Eve, a service like if Christmas is really close to Sunday, like on an actual Sunday. So usually have a few different options, but that's something that I personally really look forward to. And a lot of times too, there'll be like a candlelight service and things like that. So that's something really fun and something to definitely try to get on your calendar and make a priority. So, okay, some other random things. I'm going to close this out, but I have like literally the most random list. Because again, oh my gosh, I love Christmas. And like, I'm literally like, can I go put up my tree right now as I'm recording? Adam would LOL if he came home from work and then saw our Christmas tree up in the living room, but that does sound like something I would do. Okay. So other random things that I love around the holidays, watching Christmas movies and Christmas TV shows. Like I said, that's an obvious fun thing. Peppermint mocha nut pods in my coffee every day. So nut pods is a type of coffee creamer that has no sugar added. It's like a Whole30 paleo keto approved, all that kind of coffee creamer. It's my absolute favorite. And for Christmas, like basically the whole month, I'll do the eggnog or the peppermint mocha. So you can buy that on Amazon. I can link to in the show notes for you, but that's a favorite thing. Lots of reading by the Christmas tree at night is one of my favorite things, like getting cozy, reading a book, snuggled up with some wine or some hot chocolate, getting Christmas pajamas. So I love buying, I call them Christmas pajamas, but basically getting some like pajamas for the Christmas season every year. I'm going to link to the ones I actually just bought like 2 weeks ago. They're from Amazon. They're only like $25 and they're really pretty, like silk red button down and pants that I just love. I actually bought them in two other colors at different times, but I bought them in like the red for Christmas. So getting Christmas pajamas is something I always look forward to. Buying gifts for people, gosh, it can be so stressful, but it also is such a fun thing really to like think about the people you love and care about in your life and being like, okay, what is something that they would really enjoy and that would be like something they'd like delight in having. So I do have a mixed relationship with buying gifts for family sometimes, but at the same time, if I get in the right headspace, that can be something that I can look forward to. Okay. And then final thing I was going to share is making Christmas themed desserts. I'm like a sweet tooth person through and through. So like any fun recipes like Christmas puppy chow, and like I was saying, the Christmas candy, I love all that. And then last random thing, I love pomegranates. You're going to have to send me a DM or email if you are also someone who loves pomegranates, but that's probably my favorite fruit. And it's like a wintry thing, right? So those are like most in season in the winter. They're the best priced at Kroger in the winter. That's something that I super look forward to. And actually this week I like shelled all of our, I bought a bunch of pomegranates and shelled all of them with Colin and got the seeds out. And he like quote unquote helped me with it. And now he loves pomegranates too. So we're just like, both of us are just big pomegranate people over here. But that's something that I super associate with Christmas and I really look forward to. Additionally, I love making sugared cranberries. I feel like I keep saying I'm going to link to stuff in the show notes, but I can also link to a recipe for doing that. But like sugar covered cranberries, you could cook them down, you cover them in like a sugar water and you dip them in sugar and they make a really great cocktail garnish, but they're also just so good to eat on their own. So that's where I'm going to end this episode. I feel like I've talked enough. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Thank you so much for listening to the end. And like I said, I'm going to link to some other podcast episodes from other people who have done tons of content around Advent, holidays with kids, all of that I personally enjoyed and benefited from. And I think you'll enjoy listening to as well. But yeah, I'm glad you're here. I'm grateful for you this holiday season, and let me know if you like this episode, what your Christmas traditions are, all of that kind of stuff. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be back next week with a more business focused episode. All right, I'll talk to you then. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to this podcast episode all the way until the end. I appreciate you being here. And if you enjoyed this episode, then I want to invite you to check out my website template shop too. Over on ElizabethMcCravey.com, you'll find show it website templates that are easy to use, strategically designed, and created to help you book more clients and customers. Maybe your current website is really boring. Maybe it's a challenge to update. And maybe even it's that thing that you really feel like is just completely holding your business back. Your website needs to be strategically and intentionally designed in order for it to convert your viewers into raving customers. And that's exactly what my M-Shop templates do. So these are pre-made show it website templates where you can plug and play your content into it with ease and then get started with a website that's designed to actually help you make more money. These templates are designed to be SEO friendly on the back end, and they're not just pretty, but they are very strategic and with all the strategies I teach on this podcast. And best of all, they're easy for you to set up all by yourself. So shop them at ElizabethMcCravey.com/shop and come join the M-Shop family of hundreds of happy customers. And as an added perk, you can use the code BBPODCAST at checkout to get 10% off any template as a thank you for being a part of the podcast family. So that's BBPODCAST for 10% off any template over at ElizabethMcCravey.com. And if you love this podcast, don't forget that you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts so that you never miss an episode, and leave a rating and review for the show wherever you're listening. Share it with a friend, share it on Instagram or Facebook. That's a great way to support the podcast and get the word out. All right, I'll be back next week with another new episode.